Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the oh.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
Joss was doing a very slow, graceful boxing while she said that.
Come on, I've had two sips of this lovely drink.
Oh, yes, it has turned cocktail hour, listeners, and I did make something very special for
so
this day.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're best friends. And authors.
And authors, yeah.
And listen, we love that you listen to the podcast, but we also want you to buy our book.
Yeah.
Crappy Friends, the book.
Yeah.
The Ultimate Guide to Female Friendship. Not only is it great and fun reading, very much like the podcast is fun to listen to, but it's a great gift.
Yeah.
You know,
and
Christmas
it's that time
is coming,
of year. That's right.
And the holidays are coming.
Yeah.
And you're going to see your niece who's in high school, or your cousin, or the friend that just, you know, broke up with you. Get her a copy of the book. How satisfying would that
yeah,
be?
Yeah, yeah. Here, right. Here you go.
So we're available on Amazon. And
in all the places.
In all the places. Crappy Friends, the Ultimate Guide. And it has a picture of a beautiful young woman wearing a blue polka dot dress holding a knife behind
which
her
is,
back.
That's right. A beautiful young woman.
Art designed by Joss Day.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And model supplied by Kristen Higgins. Because it's my daughter. My beautiful daughter, you use her. Anyway, we got a big letter this week. And it discusses something that is always a hot button between friends.
Yes.
Motherhood.
Woohoo.
So, I will start, and I'll pass it up to you because it's a novel.
Sounds good.
Hello, ladies. Thank you so much for the podcast. I have learned so much from listening. I am writing to tell you about my friendship with a woman I will call Corey, not her real name. Corey and I met through mutual friends about 15 years ago and were more casual friends initially. We became best friends while I was expecting my first baby. She also had children and was super excited for me to be a mom. She became very entrenched in my pregnancy and really focused on my birth. I had my son when The Business of Being Born, was a cultural phenomenon. And this was true for my circle of friends and especially with Corey. The pressure to have an unmedicated natural birth and then to have a flawless and uncomplicated breastfeeding experience was huge.
I don't know anyone who has had those.
Easy breastfeeding,
yeah.
Yeah. I'll admit to being caught up in these beliefs until my son was born.
Hello.
When my son was born, he had several birth defects that were not detected prior to his birth, despite me having the usual prenatal care and testing. One defect required emergency surgery on his first day, and he would go on to have lifelong issues stemming from this birth defect.
My goodness.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
My friend Corey was minimally supportive, but seemed mostly concerned that I wasn't breastfeeding.
Oh, right.
She was also still cheering me on that I had an unmedicated birth. I really didn't care anymore that I'd managed to have an unmedicated birth. The spell that unmedicated birth had over me was completely dissipated within minutes of my son being born. Birth was one day of my life. I was now staring down a future with a medically fragile child, and I'd had no time to prepare for this reality. I was flailing. I found quickly in the hours and days that followed my son's birth that my social circle really didn't know how to respond to my situation and had just evaporated. I also found that everybody seemed most concerned that I wasn't breastfeeding. Never mind that my son was too sick to actually breastfeed. That didn't seem to matter to anyone. I spent a long time going back and forth from home to the ICU with no support or help, just text messages about pumping until my baby could breastfeed.
Oh, Christ.
The pumping information didn't help. A casserole would have helped.
Mm.
My son was eventually sent home, but things were still really difficult. After my son had come home, Corey moved on from championing breastfeeding and natural birth with me, but she now had set her sights on a newer and more bizarre cause, sign language. She minimally learned some sign language after I told her my son had hearing loss and pressured me to learn sign language and to only teach my son sign language and not teach him how to speak. I just want to pause here. A lot of moms sign with their kids because kids can sign before they can speak.
Talk.
So, you know, more or drink or something like the daddy, you know, that's possible for little babies to indicate with sign language, but not speaking to a child with hearing impairment, that's weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the letter. To be clear, my son was hard of hearing and not completely deaf. Also, to be clear, I had a brand new baby who was medically fragile and constantly at the hospital or appointments. Then I had a toddler who was medically fragile and constantly at the doctor or therapy appointments. When was I supposed to learn a whole new language? Over time, things seemed to minimally improve with my extended social circle, but after every social interaction, I was left with the impression that everything to do with our children was a competition. Oh, girl.
Mm-mm.
Who was walking? Who was talking? How organic their diets were.
Ugh.
One of the issues my son was diagnosed with after his birth was hearing loss. He was never going to speak on the same timetable as other kids in my circle. He had a lot of speech therapy as a toddler to help him, but no grace was given to him or to me. The other moms in our circle now made snide and cruel statements about my son's speech and language development. I removed myself from the circle, but stayed close to Corey. Again, taking a break. What a coven of bitches.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Jeez.
Corey seemed generally okay with my son's differences, but she was still fixated on American Sign Language. She made small, derisive comments about my son's hearing aids. When she would watch him, she would take his hearing aids out.
Oh, my God.
Most of this stance seemed related to a blog she had read about raising a deaf child. The author advocated for not teaching children with hearing loss to speak and to only teach them sign language. The author was staunchly opposed to cochlear implants. Corey often sent links to this blog to me, and she took up anti-cochlear implant views. Okay.
It's kind of not your business.
At the time, I kind of attributed this behavior to Corey just wanting what she saw as best for other people, even if it was more, even if it was more nuanced than just ASL or speech, or whether to get cochlear implants. I also just figured she had some quirky beliefs, but it wasn't anything I would have ended our friendship over. My son has learned some ASL, but is more proficient with spoken language. Things got better between us for a really long period of time. We had a wonderful and supportive friendship for a long time. In the years after I had my son, Corey had several more children, all of whom were born at home. Home birth also became very important to Corey. We enjoyed several years of being best friends. We had a similar sense of humor, we liked a lot of the same books and TV shows, and enjoyed several small vacations and getaways together. I have so many photos of our two families hanging out together. We talked on the phone often and messaged each other daily. We still had differences, but we just sort of left them as it is. Then Corey met someone I'll call Mary, also not her real name. Mary's whole identity seemed to involve being against vaccines and formal education. She homeschooled all of her children, often to their detriment. Mary's children were all struggling with reading. When I met Mary and her children, I wondered if her kids had undiagnosed and unaddressed learning disabilities. It made me really sad for them. After a few months of her newfound friendship with Mary, Corey pulled her kids out of school and began homeschooling them. The outings I used to go on with Corey were no more. Now only Mary was invited. The pictures I saw of them together on Facebook doing things I used to do with Corey. I wasn't jealous that Corey had a new friend, but I was very sad that Corey only seemed capable of being friends with one person at a time, and suddenly I was not really someone she wanted around.
Then Corey began pressuring me to pull my son out of school. Initially, I attempted to reason with her that I could not do that because my son needed more specialized education than I could provide at home, and he got services like speech therapy and occupational therapy through school. Corey had taken up the stance that moms know best what their kids need, so I should be able to homeschool my son and provide what he needed. I finally just laid it out that I was never going to do that, and I was never going to change my mind. Around this time, I had another baby. The pressure from Corey to not have any prenatal testing, was intense and bizarre, especially given how terrifying my older son's first days of life had been. I wanted to have all the information I could get about how to help my baby have a smooth start to life. I finally just stopped talking about how my pregnancy was going and just said I was doing fine when asked. While I was still pregnant with my second child, Corey told me about a woman she knew from an online parenting group who had a baby with a non-survivable birth defect and how this woman had opted to carry it to term. Ow. And didn't I want to be just like this woman? My baby was healthy and doing well, but I didn't think any decision I made was anyone's business but mine and my doctor's. Also, she began pressuring me to consider having a home birth and also pressuring me to not see the OBGYN I had been seeing because she had heard about this particular doctor using a lot of interventions. I can't imagine caring this much or being this invested about another person's personal decisions, especially decisions that didn't affect her. I had my second baby after much prenatal testing. I gave birth in a hospital and continued to see the OB that Corey was opposed to. Somehow, me and my baby managed not to catch fire during the forbidden hospital birth. Good for you, hon. But I felt like Corey was judging me for violating some sort of creed about when, how, and where I gave birth. The lesson I learned after my first birth was to trust myself. I didn't worry so much about meeting the absurd standards of a person who would not have to face the outcomes. Eventually, things fizzled out between Mary and Corey. They became more casual friends. Corey and I were still friends, but there was some more serious distance between us after this point. No more daily messages. Few and far between calls. Corey had made homeschooling and generally defying conventional parenting wisdom her entire personality.
I bet all the kids sleep in the bed with her.
Oh, Christ. Oh, God. We still talked and saw each other a few times a year. We celebrated some birthdays and some holidays together, but there was a palpable change in our friendship after I wouldn't join the homeschooling crowd and after I didn't cave to her bizarre pressures during my second pregnancy. And then Corey met someone I will call Hazel, not her real name, yada, yada, yada. Hazel became Corey's new best friend immediately. Hazel unschooled her kids and had given birth to all of her kids at home. Corey started unschooling immediately. If you're not familiar, which I'm not.
I'm not either.
Unschooling is the idea that children need no formal education and will just learn whatever they're curious about. Is that right?
I have no idea.
Okie
doke. I doubt very much that a child can learn to read without, like, learning letters and sounds.
So forth. And
you know.
Hazel was vegan, so Corey became vegan. Corey's entire identity seemed to revolve around a group of women who are crunchy moms. Hazel doesn't associate with people who aren't in the crunchy community, so I'm sure you can guess what happened between Corey and me. This marked a point where there was a dramatic and adversarial shift in our friendship. Corey started posting cruel memes that seemed aimed at me and my oldest son and long screeds to her Facebook page that also seemed aimed at me. She took particular offense to people who forced their children to get cochlear implants, who have their children go through speech or behavioral therapy. She also said that formal education was a life-destroying practice. Wow. And people who engaged in it are essentially committing child abuse. My parents didn't know.
Wow.
Yeah. Corey invited me out for coffee after a long stretch of not talking to each other. When I confronted Corey about the memes and posts during the coffee date, she denied it was about me and said she was just enthusiastic about unschooling, the community she had found in other crunchy moms, and respecting her children's autonomy. Around this time, my dad started getting sick. While Corey and I were getting coffee, I mentioned my dad. Corey sort of cut me off and said, "I'm sure your dad is going to be fine." My dad, as it turns out, was terminally ill.
Aww.
My dad lived for another year after becoming sick, and despite knowing that my dad was dying, Corey continued on with her newfound crunchy mom community and never even bothered to ask if I was okay. As it became clear that my dad was nearing the end of his life, I posted something to Facebook asking my friends to understand that I was not available for my usual community service and outings with friends because I needed to spend time with my father and my siblings. Corey contacted me and apologized for not supporting me during this time and promised to change. The change that I witnessed was the bare minimum of friendship and often not even that. I felt like she was just doing the least possible just so she would not have any social fallout from our mutual friends for being so terrible and supportive of me during such a difficult time. A few days after the promise to do better, my dad died. Corey came to my dad's memorial service, but she really just ate hors d'oeuvres, then left halfway through. She literally never asked if I was okay, not that day and not at any point after. I set our friendship aside completely and stopped making any effort to talk to her or interacting with her. She would call and text me when she needed something, but that was it. Often, I didn't respond or answer. We drifted to a place of being distant acquaintances. Then the pandemic started. I had to pull all of my kids out of school and put them on distance learning. I posted something to Facebook about it. Corey suddenly became interested in being friends again because she thought this meant I was finally going to start homeschooling my kids. I was invited to her COVID pod. The offer of renewing our friendship and being included in her COVID pod was quickly rescinded when I told her I was going to have my kids enrolled in distance learning through their school, and I hoped they would resume attending in person eventually. Immediately, Corey told me that she would only be in a COVID pod with families that were homeschooling or unschooling, so we weren't welcome.
Oh.
Okay. I began intentionally avoiding any interaction with her in any capacity. Her extreme views, ideology, and zealotry had gone too far. I had previously accepted that we just had different views and that was okay, but the same grace was never afforded to me. I ended up blocking her on social media after she posted another screed that seemed to be aimed at me. In this screed, she wrote that if people wanted support from her, she needed to know she was supported by them. She went on to make statements about being tired of people in her life that don't support her giving birth at home or unschooling her children, and those people can just get out of her life if they can't get behind what she's doing. I thought to myself about how I had never pressured her to place her kids in traditional school, nor had I pestered her to get prenatal testing or give birth in a hospital. I'd never taken an oppositional position about anything in her life. I'd respected her decisions, even when I didn't agree. It seemed clear to me that what she was saying was that she only wanted people in her life who would not only support what she was doing, but would also make the exact same choices she had made. There was clearly not even an iota of space for me in her life. I blocked every way she had to contact me. Looking back on our friendship, I see a person that I liked a lot, but that I lost to a series of bizarre ideologies. I feel like I lost my best friend to a cult of online mom groups and disinformation. We haven't spoken for about 2 years, but I miss her still and think about contacting her. I miss our friendships when we had good years. I often wonder if she still is just as entrenched in her obsessions and zealotry, or if she would ever go back to being the person I had so many good memories with. Is this a situation worth revisiting? Is this just a person who got caught up in online fanaticism, or is this who she is? The sense I get from mutual friends is that Corey has become less of an extremist, but I'm dubious. Mutual friends have mentioned that she's no longer so aligned with unschooling or crunchy parenting, but I question that. Would you reach out to her or reconnect if you were in my situation? Thanks. Unschooled?
Uncrunchy mom. I absolutely would not.
Same.
She's crazy.
She's crazy. She is.
And she's vindictive.
Yes.
The idea that she knew better than an entire community devoted to kids with special needs, the whole medical establishment. I mean, I have nothing against home birth.
Mm.
I think they're great, you know, if that's what you want, if you have a medical professional attending you, like a midwife, but you know, a midwife has a master's degree, you know, a speech pathologist has a master's degree.
Yes.
Occupational therapist, same,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I respect people who have devoted their lives to learning something specific about a field.
Yes.
And I don't assume I can do better. I'm not going to perform surgery on someone.
I agree.
As much as I want to deliver a baby, if
desperately,
there was a doctor
yeah.
in the house,
yes.
I would let the doctor do it.
Yeah.
I think Corey is crazy. I think she has, you know, I do think she was in a cult. When only one viewpoint can be right and only one person knows what's right, that is pretty much the definition of a cult.
And, you know, you did have some signs early on.
Yeah.
Corey jumps from one extremist thing to the next. Yeah. Like, she can't just homeschool. Now she's got to unschool. She's got to go way beyond.
Right.
And she can't just, you know, have a home birth. But no prenatal care.
Right.
I mean, and she's honestly...
You know, the idea that if your second child had had a non-survivable birth defect that you should carry to term... Who the hell does she think she is?
I think she just has a sort of a personality that bounces from extreme to extreme.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, you know, the next hot thing could come down the line and she'd be like, oh, now I'm into this.
I'm only friends with people who share my beliefs.
Right.
That's a cult.
Yeah. So I think you should not contact her. I think you should remember the good times and recognize that those are very good times. I think you also need to remember the fact that she had no compassion for you when you had your first birth and it was so difficult, and all of the challenges that you went through afterwards and, you know, raising your child who had hearing loss issues and all of that. Zero compassion.
I mean, the idea that she knew better than you and your partner and your doctors and your family, you chose cochlear implants or hearing aids for your son.
Yeah.
She took them out.
That's crazy. I would have kicked
so
her ass right there.
I would have slapped her.
No kidding.
You know, I think that she never showed you any respect. Mm. She never showed you any acknowledgement that you were an intelligent woman who could make her own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, if you don't think what I think, you're wrong, you're
mm-hmm.
stupid,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to passively aggressively attack you
mm-hmm.
on social media.
Yeah, I just...
I hate her. I'm sorry.
I'm not a fan, of
you
course.
Know,
I'm not a fan.
I want to say, I had one pregnancy
mm-hmm.
out of four.
Mm-hmm.
That resulted in a healthy child who could breastfeed.
Mm-hmm.
It was an unmedicated birth,
mm-hmm.
and I was lucky, and she could nurse well. Then I had an emergency C-section in the middle of the night so that I wouldn't die and my son wouldn't die.
Mm-hmm.
And he was terrible at breastfeeding,
mm-hmm.
and we did everything that we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And when people make judgments about, you know, well, you should be nursing,
mm-hmm.
and you have, like, a 4-pound baby
mm-hmm.
whose mouth is just literally not able to do that.
Oh, my God.
And you're attached to a pump, and, you know, no one should be weighing in on this.
No one should.
And I remember, you know, this was 23, 24 years ago, I remember when... I'm sorry to get graphic, listeners who aren't interested in breastfeeding, but I remember when my milk supply dried up,
mm-hmm.
and I had been pumping religiously because, you know, I couldn't nurse, and we'd been giving him breastfeed, and I was sobbing
mm-hmm.
because I thought I failed my son.
Mm-hmm.
And my midwife, who happened to be a man, said, "We can't believe you kept it up this long.
Wow.
You're a champion."
Yeah.
That's what you should be hearing.
Yeah.
You always do your best for your children.
Yeah.
Sometimes that doesn't mean nursing them till they're five.
No.
You know?
Or
And if you, you know, if you're a listener who nurses till they're five, I respect that because
mm-hmm.
you are making the decision for your child.
Yes.
Don't you dare tell
right.
someone else that their baby's going to be sick because of formula.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. I do remember that craze. I feel like, though, that people are starting to be much more compassionate and understand that it's a personal decision, like most decisions that
right.
have to do with
and,
yourself and your children.
It's the health of your child.
Yeah.
So you can't have an unmedicated birth because
right.
your baby's not in the right position, and you'll
yeah.
die in childbirth if you
right.
try to push that baby out.
Right, right. So, yeah, I she just is...
You know,
just an extremist. I think I would have been done when she was encouraging me not to have prenatal
yeah.
exams.
And I think she was done, but she kind of dripped
done.
Back in. I think what your letter says is you know exactly who this person is.
Mm-hmm.
You have drawn the appropriate boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeling a little nostalgic now
mm-hmm.
and hoping that she's changed. But I think you're right to be wary.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see why you would put your energy and emotional input into a relationship that was so ugly.
Mm-hmm.
She treated you very badly.
I think so.
So don't
yeah.
do it on Crunchy Month.
Yeah.
There are other people out there who will become your best friends.
Right.
That's not something that happens once.
Yeah.
That's something that happens again and again and again. Some of your best friends stay with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I've talked about Beth, my best friend from when I was 7.
Mm-hmm.
We're still friends.
Mm-hmm.
We're not best friends anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't hold hands and sleep over each other's house, but I love her. And, you know, I'm so happy to see her. And, you know, we talked on another podcast about, you know, the many best friends that we have. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, that sometimes a best friendship ends, but you have no enmity
yes.
toward that person.
Right.
You just have affection and mm-hmm. acknowledgement that, you know, had we stayed roommates, we'd probably still be super close. But
mm-hmm.
now you live in another state.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so appreciate the good times, but my God, do yourself a favor and mm-hmm. stay away from this woman.
Yeah, and I just want to be clear. I mean, Chris and I both called this woman crazy, and by that I mean disrespectful. Really, to your choices.
Disrespectful and extreme.
And extreme. To your choices, to the things that were best for your family, your kids at the time. To not like seeing what's right in front of her, that your
right.
son had many challenges and
yeah.
she could not know how to deal with those challenges, and just pulling out his
right.
hearing aids was completely disrespectful.
Yeah.
So just to be clear about that.
Maybe she has been blessed with multiple healthy children.
Good for her.
Who will absorb knowledge in the way that they are. I respect her decisions.
Mm-hmm.
She is their mother. She loves them. She wants what's best for them, and that looks very different from what you want.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think the way she's treated you says it all.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Motherhood is the most difficult thing in the world. You are so scared. You are so in love. You are so exhausted. You are so worried for the rest of your life. And for someone to tell you you're doing it wrong, you should be like me, screw her. I'm sorry.
And honestly, motherhood, I think, changes so much. Like, in the last 20 years, it's become so different
oh, yeah.
than what happened 20 years ago. And so
yeah.
it doesn't make sense if, you know, my mom came to me and been like, well, when you were young, I did this. Because
yeah.
that doesn't make any difference
right.
anymore.
And, you know, things change. Like, when my daughter and son were born, unmedicated birth was very
popular.
Pushed.
Yeah.
Very, very, you know, that was your goal.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, it's sort of been like, well, we don't want you exhausted
mm-hmm.
and, you know, in agony
mm-hmm.
and then require an emergency C-section. So
right.
we're only going to let you struggle for so long.
Right.
You know, if you can nurse,
mm-hmm.
if you have that ability, if your baby has that ability, if you have that time,
mm-hmm.
great.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to give your baby formula, guess what? He's still alive.
He's going
to
be fine.
You know?
He's going to
be
okay.
fine.
He's going to be okay.
I mean, when I was a little kid, nobody breastfed.
I had formula.
It was for, like, third world countries.
Yes.
You know?
I had formula.
I
have, there's pictures of my mom, A, folding my diapers.
Yes.
A,
right.
and then getting formula deliveries, like big deliveries of formula.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember asking Mom, like, did you try to nurse any of us? And she was like, no, nobody did. It was like, you know, formula was supposed to be better.
Mm-hmm.
When my grandmother had babies, they knocked you out.
Yeah.
You know? And
right.
And you pushed out the baby without really being conscious.
They showed that on The Crown. The queen was having, I think her first, she must have been having Charles.
Right.
And they, I think they gave her, like, total general anesthesia. She was out completely.
Right, it's like ether or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, she was asleep and then she woke up and she had a baby.
Yay! Yeah, so things changed. Now, my grandson is eating solid food.
Mm-hmm.
He takes a stalk of broccoli.
Mm-hmm.
He has no teeth.
Right.
Well, he had no teeth when he started. And he sucks on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh my God, he's going to choke to death, you
mm-hmm.
know? And my daughter said, no, this is what's recommended now.
See?
Right?
Things changed so much.
I used to puree food
mm-hmm.
and spoon feed my children.
Mm-hmm.
Now my 8-month-old grandson can spoon feed himself
mm-hmm.
and
gnaw on broccoli.
He has like chicken and
mm-hmm.
yeah. And you know, does it make me nervous? Yes.
Yes.
But I'm from a different generation.
There's a whole different set of rules.
And I believe my daughter and I believe her pediatrician
mm-hmm.
and you know.
Yeah.
Things change.
Yes.
Maybe in 20 years we'll be like, no, puree the food.
Go back
we
to that, right?
Wrong.
Right.
You know? It's like the family bed.
Yes.
You know, oh, sleep with your child.
Right.
Oh, actually, don't
sleep with
your
child.
Child.
That's right.
You know? So, for anyone to tell you what's best for your child is a line that once crossed, I don't think you should ever look in the rear view.
I agree.
And I hope your son is doing well.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you're giving him every opportunity and every way to shine so that he can, you know, make his way through the world as best as he can.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope your other child is doing really well, too.
Me, too.
So thank you so much for that fascinating letter.
That was fascinating.
And whew, I'm glad I'm not having any more kids.
Oh, my gosh.
Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net. And please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends
forever.